This is a Collider.com audio interview.
So what's going on with Watchmen?
So what's going on? That's awesome.
Wow.
No, that's fine. Yeah, like it's one question, then watch. That's fine, though. No, that's good. I get the mood of the room. That's fine. That's cool. Watchmen is, well, we're trying to get a budget together now that, you know, to see, you know, look, the movie's, I feel like the movie's in a pretty cool place. I think the script's starting to become pretty cool. I've been talking to some actors. I'm not going to say who. But it's cool because in some ways, you know, you can get some cool, you get real actors. You don't have to go Hollywood. So that's all going along. I've been drawing away, you know. And so I think it's coming along, as they say. So they have talked about maybe shooting in the summer, so.
Well, what's the problem?
Eminent.
What's been the delay? Because 10 years ago it was a Joel Silver
project
that Terry Gilliam was going to do.
Yeah, I think that I can only thank God that they haven't gotten it together yet. I think the delay is always that they haven't known what it was, you know. It's only now, I've set the movie in 1985, and I have the luxury of being far enough away from 1985 so that that is a viable idea. I think that what happened in the past was that, you know, when you're only, you know, 5 years away from 1985, it's hard to make a period piece that took place, you know, 3 years ago. The studios don't get that. And, you know, and there has been a push, I think, on everybody's, on the other scripts that exist about trying to update the movie or make it take place in the present day or things of that nature. And I think that by setting the movie in 85, by, you know, having the Cold War, having Nixon, having all that stuff, you reinvigorate what the story is about, you know, and it allows all the metaphors to sort of be read. Look, if you set the movie in modern time, you're basically saying it's the War on Terror, right? Is the thing. And then the movie's asking me, oh, Zach, what do you think of the War on Terror? You know, what's your take on it? And I really am not, who gives a fuck what I think about the War on Terror? You know, that's not why people go to the movies. I think what Alan has, in his book, the comment he's made about, authority and, government and all those things, the big themes, maybe if you make that movie right, what that has to say makes people think about what's happening maybe now or in their own lives. You know, that's my hope for what the movie could be.
How has the universal praise for 300 assisted you with making Watchmen and possibly other projects?
Well, no, it hasn't helped a lot. You know, I think that what it is what it does do. Someone has said to me, like, dude, how do I make, you know, what's going on with Watchmen? You got to make sure you don't fuck that up, you know. And I'm sorry if I'm swearing, but I said, listen, you know, the truth is, he goes, what can I do to help? I go see 300. Because the truth is, 300 is, to the studio anyway, it's a graphic novel movie. It is not a movie that they necessarily understand exactly when I pitch it on paper. When I say, listen, it's this in a movie. They don't get that. So my point is that they feel in some ways the same way about Watchmen. They don't understand why it's not Fantastic Four. And I have to remind them, it's much more Strangelove than it is Fantastic Four, which they don't like hearing. But I think that they believe that I know, which is a mistake. But they believe that I know, and so in that way it helps. And the way that this movie, when they finally saw it, I think they felt, wow, we didn't know that was the movie you were making necessarily, but we like this movie. So maybe that will apply to Watchmen. Does that make sense?
For someone who didn't read the book, how much of it is from the movie to the book, from the book to the movie?
The 300.
Yeah.
I would say it's probably about 90% the book there's maybe a 10% bit that I added, which was the sort of the Queen's storyline. And we did that to really initially to just remind people of the why we fight part of it. You know, you get a little, you get all the way up there to Thermopylae and suddenly Sparta becomes abstract. And so I wanted to remind people. And then once we got into that, we started to realize that we had to figure out what the queen was about. You know, there's a line in the graphic novel that says, where Gorgo says, you know, come back with your shield or on it, which was attributed to her in history. And so I wanted, in my research, I found, oh, here's another thing, this thing about, you know, only Spartan women give birth to real men. Those are two, that was another line I found that was attributed to her. And I thought, gosh, if you combine those two, like, who, like, wow, what kind of a character is that? Like, who is that woman, you know, who says those things, you know? And that's really what we use to sort of build her and flesh her out.
So where do you start with something like this? You're on a green screen stage doing all of this. I mean, do you start building environments? Do you start with the actors? Do you start with the place? I mean...
Well, the way we started was with the concept art. The first thing we did was we would just say, okay, I would do a little doodle, and Grant would say, okay, he would do some Photoshop whacking together of images. And that would sort of get us in an area where I'd say, okay, that's kind of working. And then we try and refine that by maybe shooting some stuff. Shoot a guy in a Spartan outfit. Not the ones we'd use in the movie, but something like it. Red cape, you know, for composition and sky and things like that. And so that process evolved all the way then to production, where we would sit at a table like this and we'd have a drawing. We'd have the storyboard that we were going to shoot in front of us, and I'd say, okay, I want the camera low. What happened the moment before is the guys walked up, they stopped on the hill, and I'm imagining that it's a silhouette and that sky we'd replace. And then everyone would take a turn going, the visual effects guys would go, okay, what we plan to do is generate this sky, get this background, maybe there's a sun flare, maybe, you know, blah, blah, blah. And Jim Bissell, the production designer, would say, okay, this is what I plan to build for you to shoot on. It's a little silhouetted hill, it's made out of concrete, and you can use it for all these different things. And we basically do that, you know, 2,000 times, and you have a movie.
Miller has such a distinct style in the book. Was it difficult as a director to sort of leave your own mark when adapting it?
You know, I wasn't really conscious. I didn't really think about it that way. But I will say that, I think that you, even when you try and get out of the way of something, you know, you're like a filter. You know, you can't help it. It goes through you, and when it comes out the other side, it's got people in it, and, you know, there's all sorts of stuff that happens. So I wasn't really worried about that, because also the thing I talk about is, like, the thing I love about a movie is its tone, you know? That's, like, my favorite part of movies is the tone of the movie. Like, what is it? What kind of a movie is it? I think when I did Dawn of the Dead, you know, my feeling with Dawn was I wanted to make a movie that felt like a cult movie. You know, that you could feel it was organic and it was just simple and it wasn't going to be a lot of CGI and it was just, you know, a lot of makeup. And when we went to do 300, I wanted to make a movie that, you know, felt like the graphic novel, that the characters stood and they looked and they talked like the graphic novel, and that you felt the graphic novel. And that was the most important thing to me, because I felt like the story was there and sort of the heroic nature of the film was there, but the tone of it, the where it came from, I wanted you to feel it. And so in that way, you know, I used the graphic novel as a thing that informed the tone of the movie. And in that way, that's my favorite thing about the movie, you know, is that I feel it, you know.
We're primarily dealing with mythology rather than history here.
Absolutely. I say that the 300 is a movie that is made from the Spartan perspective. And not just from the Spartan perspective, the cameras with the Spartans, but it's the Spartan sort of sensibility of the Battle of Thermopylae. If you had a Spartans and they were sitting around a fire and they were telling you, before anything was written down, what happened at Thermopylae, this is the way they would tell it. You know, it's not necessarily, you know, down to the fact that they don't have armor on. Everything about it is just to make the Spartans more heroic. You know?
Were there any shots you just couldn't make work and they're out of the movie?
The only thing that's out of the movie, nothing from the graphic novel, really, except for that one scene with Stelios and Leonidas at the very beginning of the graphic novel. But there's a thing, we did shoot this thing, it's going to be on the DVD, it was these giants with these midget archers on their backs, and they just got so outrageous that when I looked at it, I thought, okay, this is from another movie. This is crazy.
Is it finished?
Yeah, it's going to be. I mean, it's like 90% finished. It's pretty cool because they, you know, the Spartans are running and they have no arms. Their arms have been hacked off, and they've got these little sort of elf-looking guys in these kind of wicker baskets on their backs, and they're firing arrows, and then the Spartan comes and hacks the leg off of it, and it's like, and it falls, and then they leap onto it and stab the little elf with a spear.
Why did you write that sounds awesome. He's been hesitant about, even on Sin City, he was hesitant about letting Robert, do the film. Was he hesitant at all?
I think he was hesitant. I think that he... I don't think he thought anyone would ever try and make 300 into a movie. It's been when I've been with him and we've talked about it in these kinds of scenarios. He always seems to me to be very surprised. That we picked it. It's almost like a passion project for him. It has nothing to do with if you look at it in relation to his other work. It sort of is an anomaly in a lot of ways. And I think in the graphic novel world, it's an anomaly. It's a thing that sort of exists outside of the realm. I mean, the one thing I think that's consistent is who Leonidas is, Leonidas is Marv, or he's Batman, he's the same guy, Frank likes that guy, he writes him a lot, and I think his chance to have Leonidas, march up to Thermopylae, fight like a madman, and then die, that's the thing that he just likes.
You talk about the tone of 300 and approaching, it's a lot of CGI, also, how you approach Dawn of the Dead. What is your approach on Watchmen going to be? Is it going to be attacking the same kind of tone? How much CGI is going to be?
Well, I got to say that the, for instance, the CGI, the thing that we really tried to do with 300 was not make the movie look like it was made by a computer. I wanted it to feel organic as much as we could. Because, you don't want it to end up looking like Polar Express, which is, I it's a possibility. You get enough CGI in there and suddenly... it's that movie, and the problem is, and though that's a great looking movie and super cool, I feel that it doesn't then relate back to the printed medium that it came from. It doesn't. You start to separate yourself from, and I know that sounds contrary because you'd say, oh well, an animated film is much more like a graphic novel, but I disagree, because I feel like Frank's graphic novel is an organic experience. You feel it's a gritty book, there's a lot of spilled paint on that book. It feels like it anyway, and that's what I wanted to do.
So what about the color palettes you chose? Because you go from monochrome to sepia to full color.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that they all relate then. I mean, all the color choices have a lot to do with, and I have theories, and I do still, about each sequence and why they're the color they are, and also how they relate back to what the sort of overall palette of the book is, and how... In the book, really, the only color that's really saturated is the red. Everything else is pretty washed out. And even that, in 90% of the cases of the book, are almost like that kind of browny red. But to get back just for a second to the Watchmen answer is that Watchmen is... The idea with Watchmen is not to do a CG movie, but to do it as... when it's necessary. Like, when he goes to Mars, that's... Dr. Manhattan goes to Mars. There's an issue there. You got to figure that out. We can't go to Mars. I know. So there's a lot of people that are going to be disappointed by that, but I just don't have the money. Antarctica, also. There's no Karnak built there. I know, again, we should probably build it and then go film it there, but I don't think they're going to let us do that. So those two... things, I mean, right off the bat, you can think about Dr. Manhattan himself. What do you do? How do you make him, how do you render him? Rorschach's mask. There's things that, have to be dealt with and figured out. But I think that the appetite from me is to is to make a movie that feels more like Taxi Driver than like Fantastic Four again. You know, it's a balance. You know.
Does the budget for Watchmen, is that set right now, or is there some sort of, you know, plus or minus with the success of 300?
That's theoretical. I believe that is probably reflecting reality, but I don't know that for sure. It's not set right now, so maybe that's a coincidence, maybe not.
Finally, with the DVD, I don't mean to go back to that, but what can fans look forward to besides that one sequence you already spoke about?
There's only a few deleted scenes because it's pretty much the movie that we made. That's the thing, you know. I feel the one cool thing about the cinematic experience of 300 is that it's my cut. You know, they haven't really messed with me that much. Although we did take some FELTs, there's a few FELT scenes we took out, where he's like, you know, when we first see him and he's like looking down the Persians, it's just straight out of the graphic novel. You can like look in the graphic novel and those are the two scenes that aren't in it, but we shot them. And also, you know, Stelios diving off the wall to death, you know, that was also in the movie. But
I was curious about documentaries or other
kinds of... Oh, no, there's going to be
like... And what they experienced with all art and...
They're doing like
showing
this...
Showing the process a little bit on the Blu-ray.
So they would have...
That's pretty cool.
You would actually see the Frank frame on... Whenever the graphic novel, whenever it's the same as the movie, you would see that frame in the corner, and you could click on it and do all that.
Is it crazy. Just Blu-ray, or is it also going to be HD DVD?
There is an HD version, isn't there, as well?
You know something, I'm not sure if Warner Brothers is doing both. I think they are doing both, but I'm not sure.
What were you doing with the MPAA like?
You know, it wasn't that bad. I think a few. We never look on Dawn. I had what. Like 5-6 tries before I got my R, you know. But we got an R right away, so it was pretty cool. I honestly don't think the movie's that gory, personally. 300. I think it's I think it's so bizarre that it's you know, I've had, you know, 50-year-old women see the movie and go, oh, I thought it was cool, and I go, what about all the gore? And they're like, well, it's cool. It's like art. Fancy. You know? So I think on one hand, yes, if you want to enjoy that, you can. But I think on the other hand, if you want to, it is abstracted in a way that I think makes it. I think the MPAA, you know, looked at it and just said, oh, it's not Saving Private Ryan, you know.
Thank you. Really quick for Warner Brothers, how do you see the art of animation evolving with technology?
The art of animation, you mean in the sense that now animators are doing everything on the computer and it's not really a drawn medium. You know, I think that, is it good or bad? I don't know. I think that it in some ways needs reinventing, I think. Like, if you look at the movies now, like Shrek and all the Pixar movies, they've in some ways were super original and now they've all kind of like become, you know, the same thing. You know, I think that's a genre that could use a little kick in the ass.
And it'll be both HD and Blu-ray. Yeah,
okay.
Uncle?
Absolutely.
I like choices.
You know, it's a better marker.